maybe so.
But this is a pliable split that is reusable in different ways. But you can also...
Okay, it's a few minutes after 3 o'clock, and I'd like to call this meeting to order. This is a regular session meeting of the San Juan County Public Hospital District Number 1. Today's date is Wednesday, October 24th, 2018. The time is 3 o'clock. The location is the Frank Wilson Memorial EMS building here in Fighting Harbor. One thing of note is that we need to call a recess at 4 o'clock to accommodate the schedule of the district's attorney, Richard Davis, so he can participate in an executive session. So we'll try to accommodate as many folks ahead of time, particularly Linda McCarthy, prior to that time, so she can catch her airplane and we can make this what could be a very long meeting, not so long. The first order of business is subsection of the consent agenda, which is the October 24, 2018 regular session draft agenda. And I call the board to the attention of this item as a singular in the consent agenda, because if any modifications are to be made, they should be proffered as a motion at this time. Okay, it sounds like that the this component of the consent agenda will stand as written and transition from the draft form to the official form. So now included in the consent agenda is that item plus the usual laundry list of others. So can the board hear a motion?
So moved.
So moved. Second?
Second.
Any discussion? Call for a vote. All in favor of the consent agenda as written, say aye.
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 Passes unanimously. Okay, next order of business is so-called outside agency reports from Mount Baker.
Hi, Chris.
Yes.
Okay, you're on and the meeting has started.
Okay.
And we're going to hear from Lynn McCarthy, who's the executive director of Mount Baker Planned Parenthood, so she can catch the plane. And then you're on deck next with Chief Martin, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Linda. Stage is yours, ma'am.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to come here and talk with you again. It's our second report, I guess, so the first half of the year. It seems we're in October. I guess we are. Anyway, I put together a report that's sent to you ahead of time, so I'm happy to answer any questions you have. And then we have a truncated slide presentation that just picks up some of the highlights for the audience. So anytime you have any questions, please ask me about them. I think what I highlighted at the beginning of the report was our big change this year has been our switch in our electronic medical records. So for any of you who work in medical and have been through a transition like that, it was quite a big deal. We've had our prior system since 2005, I believe, so about 12 years, and we switched over to a company called eClinicWorks, which we're very pleased with. And it was, as at any time, a slowdown to speed up and to have more interoperability for our patients, which they have universally proved like it much better than the old system. The old system was something that we started using when we had our family medicine clinic in Bellingham, and it was early days. And the interesting thing is nothing has changed since 2005 when we bought our first electronic medical record, which is shocking. So there's not a single new EMR on the market today that's been built post healthcare reform, which is quite interesting. So there's still a lot of retrofitting. So it was interesting to see that, and you think some entrepreneurs would be in that market space, but they're not yet. So I'll go ahead and flip through. Here's my.
Here I am.
Oh, here. This slide I just left in because it tells you about who we are. It's the same slide that was in there before. That we are here, we're on Reed Street. We're open every Thursday from 8 to 5. We have a nurse practitioner that lives on the island here that provides our care. And just gives you a little bit about our connection here and the things that we do in the community. Okay. So this was our update. So we switched from Advanced MD to eClinicWorks. So our patients, when they come in now, they can register themselves, they can pay for their own information. They have expanded access to their patient chart, and it's much easier to do that. The patient portal, so we're in the we're in meaningful use. I don't know if you know what that means, that when healthcare reform passed, it was an incentive that was given to providers to make their systems, to move to electronic medical records and then to enhance those systems in operability ways that patients and providers, so you can exchange records with other providers and patients can access their information. We found our patient use of our portal in AdvancedMD to be much less than it is, in AdvancedMD to be much less than it is in eClinicWorks, because it's much simpler to do that. So our patients are now more interested in going in, looking at their patient visits, and they can see everything that's in the electronic medical record. There's a little piece where we can actually lock down, which might be areas where we do reporting to a body that, like Child Protective Services or some of the police department or something like that. But other than that, they can see whatever is in their chart. They can actually interact with us. They can get all their lab records. They can do whatever they want in that system. And we are about ready. We're supposed to do it yesterday. We're fogged out to launch an online appointment access system so that we'll let patients make an appointment 24/7, 365. So that's the next big piece that has been held up for a few things. And then we replaced our defibrillator in the Friday Harbor Health Center with a brand new version and trained our staff on how to use that in case of emergency. Ironically, these things are not cheap. They're several $1,000s, and the old one thankfully never got any use, but it just seems painful that they have to be turned out as they get updated, as opposed to finding a new home for them. But it is what it is. And so we've all gone through the training for the new defibrillator. We bought the same defibrillator for all of our health centers and our admins, so four of them, so that our staff that move around wouldn't have to try to remember which defibrillator that they were working on. So, now we're on schedule to replace them. I think it's every 3 years, or try to see if we can replace these new ones. I think the battery can be replaced more readily than the older ones.
So what kind of defibrillator do you use?
I don't actually know the brand of that, but I can tell you.
AED wouldn't suffice? Like you see at airports, or?
It might. It's a one that
you put it on and it tells you what to do.
Yes, it tells you
exactly
what
to do. You got an AED. Okay, when you said defibrillator, I was thinking, how do you train all these people to defibrillate?
Oh, yeah, no. This one, I mean.
Okay, you have an AED.
Yeah.
Okay,
when they said you have to go through training, I'm like, me? And they're like, yes, trust me.
Yeah.
And it's really.
I'm cool.
I think everybody should actually go through the training because it's so simple that you would not be afraid to do it if you were even on an airport. Like if you were walking through or wherever you are, these things are that intuitive because they tell you, walks you through every step. So that training has been done. So in the first half of the year, we had 98 patient visits and 98 patients and 113 visits. 89 of them were women and 9 were men. And you can see how they roll out for 104 visits for women and 9 for guys as well. Okay. And this is our numbers that we just are trying to establish a profile from year to year so that you can have a benchmark to look at. So the patients, and this is another way to just look at this so you can get a sense of the half year. We are a little bit behind where we were in 2017, which we believe is for our slowdown, our system switchover, and our training that was required for Debbie to be in Bellingham for some of that training as opposed to here when the trainers were on site in our other system. So these are the services. So we provided 300. These are contraceptive services and devices that are provided to the patient while they're in our health system. So they leave with either birth control pills or a diaphragm or have an IUD or an implant inserted or something like that. The counseling services that they receive are a variety. We did 23 pregnancy tests, and I think we did 3 options counseling, which would mean we would have had 3 pregnancies confirmed through that. We 26 preventive visits or well visits, annual exams, however you want to call them, that's what that was. And then STD testing is still very popular for our patient population. So 89 tests were done. And these are another look at all of those, and again, compared to where we were last year. So you can see the kind of services. What I'm actually interested to watch over time is the contraceptive supplies and devices dispensed. That number should continue to go down as we are doing more implants in IUDs now, so instead of getting 13 cycles of birth control pills, they get one product, and that product is good for 3, 5, or even 10 years, because IUDs have been on the market long enough now that they are adding to their length. The FDA continues to stretch this, so this IUD that was approved for 3 years was then approved for 5, is now approved for 7, so it keeps inching up, so it doesn't have to be replaced as often. So that's going to be something to watch over time. We're seeing this throughout all of our health centers. It's not just unique to Bridie Harbor. So this is the preventive visits that we did by age. The majority of them were 18 to 39, which is our demographic, primary demographic group, is that college, late high school, college age student. And then we do have a fair amount in all of our health centers of patients that are over 40. Unlike most plant parents where that number drops off, ours has actually stayed. So we do some midlife care, we continue to do annual exams for women who come in on a sliding scale. And that population has held steady for us, which is very different than most plant parents. So here's some of the health education and counseling services we provide. Again, it's a big focus on sexually transmitted disease protection and prevention and contraception. Those are our big ones. And preconception is really talking to people. We ask the question, I think we talked about it last time, the one key question, are you planning to get pregnant this year? And that is an evidence-based question. That's part of a research project that came out of Oregon. The state of Washington is just about to adopt it in a big way with a project called Upstream. And that question is fascinating because most people have never been asked the question, have never thought of it. So that's the question where if they give us, yes, I might be, or I'm not sure, then we talk to them about, then you are in a state of, you know, maybe planning for pregnancy, and these are the things you should think about. You should think about folic acid, you should think about this diet or this, what you're doing, is that if you're not protecting yourself against pregnancy, you are in a stage of maybe going to get pregnant, and you need to do the best that you can to have a healthy pregnancy. So that's what that's focused on. And then again, the three pregnancy options would have been three patients that had a positive diagnosis of a pregnancy, and then they were their options that went over with them. Okay. So here's some other, these are smaller numbers here of different kinds of things that we talk to patients about. It depends on what they say to us and their intake. Because our patients are now completing a lot of their medical history information on their own in the kiosk. So they're giving us more, we think, relevant and honest information. So then we go in and talk to them about that. And we talk about the risks associated with diabetes. I just had coffee with Louise Gusserud, and she showed me a card that we have volunteered. When somebody makes a donation, we send a thank you note from ourselves, and then a volunteer actually sends a thank you note. And the thank you note that Louise got today, which I hadn't seen and I took a picture of it, was somebody thanking us for the work that we did to screen her for diabetes and help her manage her health. And so it was just a very sweet note. So we do that as we can. We talk a lot about interpersonal family relationships, and I was just asking Louise if there's a higher than average rate of sexual assault in the San Juan Islands. And the reason I asked that is we just got, at Planned Parenthood, we just got these crime reports for all three counties that we serve in, and the rate of what this report for San Juan said was that your sexual assault rate is higher than a combined Whatcom and Skagit, and it shocked me. And it's not something that we see in our health centers, and we just don't see that. And when our patients disclose to us if they've been sexually assaulted frequently, and we do referrals to them, so I was just really surprised by that, and she suggested I talk to the sheriff, and I think I will, just to find out if the data is correct or not correct. And it doesn't seem correct to me, because we would believe we would hear more of this in our health centers, but so I wonder if something's unusual about that. And I'm going to follow up with that, because it just doesn't fit right. And if any of you have any information on that, I would love to hear that. So this is just a list of the kinds of talking. If somebody smokes, we're really after them to quit smoking. We talk a lot about nutrition, education, relationship safety. That's especially for young people. Well, it's very important for us to know that they're in a safe and that they understand where they can go if they're not in a safe relationship. Okay. And this, again, we talked about the quality family planning model is a focus that we do. Every patient that comes to our door, no matter what they're coming in for, we talk about family planning with them and ask that one key question and really try to help them understand that if they're not trying to prevent pregnancy, they're at risk for pregnancy, and that they have some interest and responsibility for making sure that if they are going to get pregnant, they have a healthy pregnancy and what that might do with that. So the quality family planning model is a lovely subset of the work that we do. And again, I think I just mentioned that Upstream is a national organization that's going to be, they have already launched in Washington State. They're in planning year this year, and then they launched in 2019 with their services, and will be providing some precepting opportunities for training providers to do implants and IUDs and to understand how to talk to patients about contraception, because it's something that not all doctors are trained on or are comfortable with. So these are the supplies and devices that were provided on site. So we did, in the first quarter, 41 rings, 40 patches, 247 cycles of oral contraceptives, 6 implants, 14 injections, which is Depo-Provera, emergency contraception, and diaphragms. So Friday Harbor is the only clinic of ours that has a demand for diaphragms. But so we stock it here so that patients can have it, which is a barrier method of birth control that has no hormones. So that's what people are very interested in. It's the old-fashioned method that many women years ago, including myself, were happy to get away from, and yet it's now a resurgence, and there's something for everybody. Okay. And this, our patient ages. Again, you'll see the big demographic group is the 20 to 29 in this case. We have a small number of patients that are under 17, and those patients are, we talk to them about talking to their parents or a trusted adult or somebody that they know about their visit, and sometimes we can facilitate them having that conversation, but they can get services confidentially at our health services center, as in the whole state, without parental consent or notification. And this, the poverty level of our patients, this unknown is a glitch in our system that has been fixed now, so we won't be able to go back on these 40, but somehow in our new EMR, that was an option which we didn't have in the last system as an option, did not fill it in. So we didn't catch that early enough. But again, the primary part of our patient population is the low income, 100% or less, and again, that income is $12,140 for an individual or $25,100 for a family of four. And when you go up to the 150%, so and down, that's over half of the patients that we served. That's for an individual that is a lower income or $25,000 or less. So we're serving those that are in need. And right, I think I looked at the in-need numbers that were just released, and Friday Harbor had about 650, or the San Juan's had about 650 women in need of subsidized family planning, and I believe last year we got about half of them. So we're going to be looking into where are those pockets of need that we're not actually reaching out to. And this is the payment source. So Medicaid is a big part. Private insurance is a part, but private insurance is it's really not what you think it is. I mean, people have insurance, but so many of our patients have high deductibles that we write our patients back to the sliding scale. So if they come in and they have private insurance and their bill is to say $200, if they go to deductible, they don't have to pay $200 for us. We use their income of where they were, and we put them back on the sliding scale as to where they would have been if they didn't have any insurance, and they're charged that. So if their income is below 100% of poverty, that they, even though they have private insurance, their service is free. And that is a way to keep people using the system, and I think it's a decent way to make sure that everybody has equity for access for health care without costs, because having private insurance doesn't mean you can afford it, and you know the high cost of We have a I have a high deductible plan. I get it, and we have both the high deductible indemnity you can choose there, and that's saying what our patients are seeing is they might have insurance, but they can't afford the fees. So that's our way that we offset that. This is our patients by location, so primarily it's Friday Harbor. There are some other San Juans, and the other locations are generally out of state, which again makes me believe they're related to somebody who lives here or visiting, because I can't imagine somebody on vacation would actually find us for us. So I can't, you know, I don't know that for a fact, but I do know that we have donors that live in those areas, which is why you don't have their zip codes. Okay. And then this Prescani, again, we continue to be part of the Prescani patient satisfaction project that's going on nationally. I know Peace Island also participates in that, as many other entities do. And Friday Harbor, go ahead and switch. Friday Harbor scores very highly in everything except patient access, which we're aware of. This was the latest one that we ran for the last part of the year. And the sample is small because not everybody fills that all out. But now, with the new system, it sends them a text and it sends them a link. So we think that we'll be interested to see in the second half of the year whether more people will actually complete it, because it's easier to complete than it was before. Small numbers here. So this is our ranking again. And again, what you'll see is access is where we do poorly. Otherwise, we are not doing so. We're doing okay. But it was lower this time, I think. No, it's, I guess, 91%. I need my glasses fixed. A little bit better than last time. And we continue to monitor this. We do a lot of work with our staff. And these are the reason why there's not green in all of these is because there has to be enough patients to actually respond. So for the first half, we had responses in February and May, which were pretty close to 99% and 97%. So we're hoping with the new system we'll get more response from people. And then this is some of our financials. So this is the revenue and of what we bring, how we bring our funds into our health centers and where we get, how we get paid for that. And the total is for the Friday Harbor is $53,504. We have just roughly a $5 million budget if you wanted to know what that is.
I have a question on the budget. Half of the expenses are other operating expenses. So half of them are listed out. What are the other half that are others? In a general format.
I have to flip to the next one so I can see what you're looking at. Can you go to the next? There we go.
Oh, that wasn't in.
Let's see.
Down below, see total expenses above the total other operating expenses.
I think all that adds. I think that adds up that column.
It says other operating expense, and then underneath that,
you have facility,
but it says other business.
What threw me was the other.
Yes.
These are the total of all of the ones above.
Oh, yeah, no, the expense is payroll, and then it's other operating expenses. So if you add all the other operating expenses, you get the total other operating expense.
Okay, so that, okay, thank
you. That's all between there.
I guess the word other threw me.
Yeah, I don't know why if they said like that.
Okay, that's cool.
It's interesting. Yes, and so you can see that in the first half of the year, even with a subsidy, we have a bit of a deficit that we're fundraising for.
Oops. Oh. There we go.
There's a quick update, and I'm happy to answer any questions and that anybody has. And
thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Any questions from the board?
No, thank you for making
the question.
Time to come.
And this is a philosophical question.
Sure.
So a lot of this is female contraception. Now the science is moving into male contraception. Do you have these discussions at headquarters about are we going to offer that if we get an FDA approved and
expenses? Absolutely. we would be all over it. I mean, we are always talking to the Gates Foundation about the contraceptive methods that are out there for guys. And there's, the interesting thing to me is this is a very long pipeline.
Yeah.
Because for the last 10 years, we keep hearing, this is coming next year, this is coming next year, this is coming next year, and next year doesn't come. And, you know, the thinking is that women, because they get pregnant and they have, you know, what that means, are more likely to put up with side effects than men are. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I hear behind the scenes, is that if there are too many side effects, they keep going back to the drawing board. And I'm like, you know, I don't know if things are going to ever be perfect. And you just have to kind of get out there and try some of these things. And so there's, I would say there's probably 10 really promising contraceptive methods out there. And we will be all over it. And I can tell you our patients, our guys, they would be all over it too. They desperately want something besides condom. So it's either for a condom or a vasectomy. And there's a whole lot of space in between there, when they would like to not have to worry about an unintended pregnancy. So yes, I guarantee you.
And to answer your opening question, the answer is no.
Yeah.
I don't plan on getting pregnant this year.
Do we have a condom for you? Actually, yeah, there's a brand new condom that's coming out that's self-lubricating, and it's gotten, in the clinical trials, much more favorability than any of the condoms that are out there.
Spermicidal.
I think it's spermicidal, I'm not totally sure, but all I keep hearing about is a pre-lubrication, so I don't really have seen it yet. So I think that's, you know, any little bit that we can do to encourage people to love carefully, we want to do. So,
cool.
Yeah.
Carefully.
Yeah, I hope I can come back here someday and say to you, Warren, we're on it. You know, it is coming. We're there today. So thanks very much. I appreciate it. I'll see you. So I just want to ask one question. The way the contract's written said I should come in January, can we like do that in February or March?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we don't have anything. We don't have our books closed in February, January.
Yeah. That too, and it followed too closely on the heels of tonight.
Yeah,
so.
Okay. So we'll all talk with Pamela. We'll do February or March, whichever works best for your schedule.
Okay. Very good.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Linda.
Thank you.